Welcome to Day Zero Update for March 8th, 2026. I'm your host, Chris Sologi.
And I'm Brandon Perkins.
Yeah, two-man crew this week, though not for lack of news.
Nope.
We had a new Nintendo Showcase, as they're doing constantly now. Or any old thing.
Pretty much.
But we got one for indies. Along with that, we got a bunch of news, as well as some industry news going around. Not as much terrible news this week, but still not amazing news all the way through. So we'll get to that. But we got some stuff with some neat dates and all that too. So we'll talk about that before we or after we get through the games we've been playing. And I'll start off here. I have been playing some Marathon. Not a ton of it. I've played a few hours of it so far. I've been enjoying it, much like I did in the Server Slam. I'm probably right around there in terms of how much I've completed for this. So still working my way through the early part of the game. But they do have some interesting things that I don't remember if they were in the Server Slam or not. But there are, I think, six shells. They're sort of the classes. They start you on one that's more just basic offense oriented sort of shell. I'm trying to go through them with each of the free loadouts kits that they give you. Because you get a skin for each of the shells for doing that. But they got like the archetypes you might expect. There's the offense oriented one. You're sort of a basic shell. There's one that's fast, speed oriented one. I think it might also have a double jump or something like that. I forget what the that one has. There's one that's more tactics oriented that has a means for tracking enemies around you. I think there's one that is more thief oriented. And I forget what the other one is. But there's also one that's called the Rook, which essentially is a different way of playing the game, because it is a solo class. You cannot party up with anybody with that. Essentially, it launches you into a game that's already in progress to act as kind of a, let's say, like a Terminator of sorts. You're not necessarily like all powerful or anything, but you're kind of this wrecking crew that can go through and kind of try to take down the last, you know, crews. I think you go into matches that have three-person teams in it. So you're kind of dealing with all of that. And that class cannot carry loot into the game. It can only bring, you know, stuff you get out of it. If you exfil out of it. But yeah, you can come into a match that's, I think they're typically like 30 or 25 minutes for a regular game. So you can pop in generally anywhere from like 15 minutes to 10 minutes in, try to finish off, you know, whoever's left or whatever. And it's a really interesting way of playing that game. And that's kind of a really cool kind of twist on that formula. So I might keep playing some more of that. That seems pretty neat. I got the version of the game that came with the first, like, battle pass, as they call it. None of the stuff that's in there is gameplay oriented. I think it's all cosmetics. With all that, so, and I believe it's like Helldivers in that it doesn't expire. So you can kind of keep working on it until you finish it, and then buy any other ones you want to get the stuff from. Though unlike Helldivers, all of theirs are gameplay oriented, on new weapons and such, so that stuff actually affects how you play the game. But it seems like they're putting all that cosmetic stuff in there, and so yeah, I've been mostly playing on the first map that's in there, because that's just kind of the easiest one to get acquainted with, and Yeah, been enjoying that. I've also been running into people who just run around killing people, which is annoying because I was like trying to exfil out of this one area. I saw a guy like shooting a bunch of the robots, and so I was like, "Oh, I'll go activate this." And I think they saw me, and I was not able to kill them before they could kill me. Whereas I had one where I was hanging out by the exfil, and another person ran up, and I was like trying to make sure everything was cool, and we. Otherwise, I've been mostly playing solo so far. I'll probably play some replayer stuff, but just haven't had the time for that stuff yet. But that's a marathon. That's been pretty cool so far, so I'm enjoying that. And the other game I've been playing a good bit this week is Blossom: The Seed of Life. As the by the time this goes up, the embargo on the review will be live. Though I don't think I'm going to be putting the or finishing up the review in time because I've had weird bugs right at the end of the game. So this being a survival crafting kind of game, especially one centered around like a dead planet that you're trying to bring back to life. I got to the last part of it, essentially building this one last machine that will, lead you to the end game, the end of the game. And started getting some weird bugs. One bug I had is I was trying to deconstruct certain machines I had to build them other areas. It seemed like there was a 50-50 chance of when I did that the game would no longer respond to button pushes or keyboard presses or anything. So it literally became unplayable at that point. So after a couple times of this happening, I started just saving before I did anything. But the only way I could get out of the game is Alt F4ing out of it. That was frustrating. And the other one is at this end of the game, the way that all these other phases of the game have gone is you build the machines necessary to build up this meter, and at this last portion, that no longer is a thing you do. You're building up these machines that are producing life onto this planet, and by life, it is mostly like insects and birds, flying things. And with them comes some like point value to them. The insects are smaller than the birds, so there are less points for that. But you have to build these cores into it so that it power it, and each core represents an animal that you can spawn out of it. And so you have and the other thing is that some of these birds or insects require a lower form to exist for it to quote unquote feed off of. But none of this you see in any way in the game itself. You just see like where I'm at, you just see a bunch of birds flying around aimlessly. So it just looks like complete chaos in this area. And so it implies that potentially if you build these like dispensers near each other, you would potentially have one that could have, a couple bugs that might be needed to produce the most of the birds. But none of that seems to work that way. So essentially the way I've been doing is using 7 of the 8 species that could spawn be birds, and then one being the one bug that is used for some of the birds, which is sort of how that works. But then the meters, I need to get to 1,000 points ultimately, and after like 4 of these machines, I only have like 260 or something like that. So I'd By math, it I need at least 10 of these things, if not more, maybe up to 15. But I do not have enough of one of the materials on the planet to keep building anything. It's steel, and it's the only one that is not naturally occurring on this planet. So I don't have any clue of how to get more of it, and it feels like there's something that's got to be missing, or some sort of bug or something. Because whenever I've had issues like that, It's either been I misread something or I wasn't paying attention and didn't understand how something worked. And this just feels straight up like a bug of some sort. Because the little like thing that you can look at for like more information on, you know, the machines and these materials and such that are here, the steel is described as, you know, not of this planet. It is provided by, you know, humanity, but does not originate here on this planet. So it is only found in like debris from the ship crash, and there's only so much of that. And despite there being like habitats around the map, you can't break any of those down. There's a satellite that is literally like rusted over that is like, can I mine this for steel? And no, that doesn't work. And so I've mined all the steel I can, and it only gets me to like a quarter of what this last phase of the game needs to finish it. And it's, yeah, it's just one of those kind of frustrating situations. So I'll have to send an email to the dev and see like what's going on. Do I have a bad seed for this? Is there a bug, or am I just not understanding what I need? So what I did to get to the end is essentially it has a creative mode. I saved before I did this and created a new save that this would live in. Just turn on the creative mode, which has a number of options for like give you all the blueprints and do all this other stuff. You can just turn off the need for resources on things. So I unlocked all the blueprints and just built the last, and you're building this machine, and I had like three parts of it built and I had two more left. And so I just built the last two pieces and did what it needed to go to the end and saw how it ended, which is pretty nice. But it is like a finite end for this kind of game, which I feel like is a fairly unusual thing for a creative, you know, like a survival crafting kind of game. Usually they're designed to be like endless kind of things. But this one, the way it described to me, would be like a 30 hour kind of thing. And I'm roughly at there. But yeah, just kind of was not able to finish it legit. I had to go into creative mode, which at least let me see the end of the game. But yeah, so I'll have to contact them. I'll start writing my review, but I'll contact them and see, like, did I miss something? Is there some way that this is supposed to work? Because, yeah, it just doesn't make any sense to me how there's not enough of this, and I don't want to start a whole new save over again.
Yeah.
Especially because you're more vulnerable at that point early on. And so, like, just me being able to look around and find how much steel might be on a fresh map is not something I really want to go through, if I can help it. They do give you, like, a hovercraft at a certain point, which made it easy to fly around the map and kind of see, like, did I miss something here? And I found, like, one more piece of debris, but that was, like, three more things of steel. I was like, that's nothing. I would need, like, 100 more pieces of steel. You'd probably get to the end based on the way this thing seems like it is working, but also it also not being just a meter that constantly fills up until it's at the max also feels broken. So I feel like something happened at some point. So I just want to get some more clarification, put my final thoughts on this. But yeah, that's Blossom, the Seed of Life. That'll be out Monday. I think $16.99, I think, is the price that they quoted on their final news post for launch. It seems like a solid price for this game, especially because it's also one of those kind of games that is a good personality test for how good you are at organization.
Yeah.
Especially with, like, it has a lot of cables to it. It's like, all right, if you're, like, computer setup is just fucking cables everywhere, you're probably going to have the same in this game. Versus, you know, being a very organized kind of factory kind of game that this could potentially be like. That's not that I'm close to doing. Found places to put things. And you can move things around once you've built them with limitations. It's like within the range of the printer that's nearby, or, you know, most everything doesn't like being built on hills, which unfortunately my base is between two hills, so it limits my ability to build some things there. But otherwise, I've enjoyed this game a lot, so yeah. Something that happens with reviews sometimes, especially for, I think it's a pretty much a solo developed game from the credits. Yeah. I think there was like one other person mentioned, and it seemed like must be their spouse or something. Doing, I forget what it was. It was like playtesting or something. Then it was like attributed, you know, playtesting and that kind of stuff to the publisher stuff. So obviously other people worked on it. But I think the dev here worked. I had like people in their Discord like helping playtest and give feedback and that kind of stuff. And they're credited in there as well. So yeah, pretty small team otherwise. But yeah, enjoyed that a good bit. And then I started Winter Burrow. Been playing it on my Steam Deck for about an hour or so far. And that is also a crafting survival game. Features a mouse who has gone through some shit. They lived in this tree stump house that they were forced out of at some point with his parents. They go to this other place and then are kind of ground to dust until they die. The parents work and provide a life for their kid, and the parents die, and so your character essentially like sells everything, moves back home to the burrow. It's during the winter where we're at, where I'm at right now. And so you find your aunt nearby, who's kind of the one that's taught you everything you know about survival stuff. And she kind of gives you some more things to help you like flesh out like what you can build and do. Especially gives you a key to the basement where you can create mushrooms and all that. But yeah, you kind of go out into the outdoors, snow and all that's going on. So you got a temperature meter, like a health meter, a food meter, and maybe a drink meter. I forget what all the meters are. I've only had the temperature and the food one going down so far. But yeah, you're kind of going around picking up stuff, bringing it back. You have a couple different crafting areas in your house. You have a little chair for knitting. Like any other chairs you build in the house can also be used for knitting. You got a table for, building new axes and all that kind of stuff. And then a stove for cooking food that you can eat that. And yeah, you're just kind of going out, gathering things, coming back, building them. And then when it starts getting dark, it gets colder. So you're more likely to not want to stay out. So one of the early things you'll build is the bed. You can just sleep until the morning, come back out and collect more things, build it, and explore more of the environment. So, I'm only an hour in, so I've barely done anything, but like the style of it, especially it's a 2D one of these, which is pretty rare. You're just kind of controlling the character going around this environment, and sometimes a little tricky to see if you can get around things, or if it's the art's just fancy and you can walk behind things. For the most part, if it's there, it's blocking whatever you're trying to do. So you got to find other ways around. So that's been pretty much what I've been doing. So how about you, Brandon?
Well, as for me, I am still playing Splatoon 3. I, a couple years after the fact, finally managed to beat the DLC for that one, which is the sort of vaguely roguelike type of thing where you're going up this virtual tower, slowly collecting chips to put into your thing so that you can upgrade your abilities. And I finally did that, but technically it's still not over because I still need to do it with like the other weapon chips in order to do it. But otherwise, that whole part of the game is done. And, Inkopolis Square is now open again, so I can go back to that place if I want to. But yeah, still a lot of fun, still really enjoying it. And then on top of that, I had been playing Donkey Kong Bonanza, and I finally finished it. I finally finished the Bonanza rehearsal part, which is extremely difficult. Like, don't get me wrong, like Donkey Kong Bonanza was already kind of hard to begin with. It's especially for a modern Nintendo 3D platformer, but the last parts of it are extremely difficult. I've already mentioned the fact that you basically have to have like hundreds of banana gems before you can even access them, and how all the individual Bonanza rehearsals courses are basically these long obstacle courses that are all grouped around the various Bonanza forms that you can get in the game. But the last one that you have to do is the longest and also the most difficult. You have to basically go through pretty much all of the various Bonanza forms, and it starts off with you having to go into the ostrich form and sort of pilot your way through this large spiny cave structure where these vines will like sort of grow up out, and you have to like use the either fly between them, or you have to use the ostrich forms like bomb eggs to get through them. And you 100% will take damage during this part, which is why it's best to get as much get as much like gear you can get that helps deal with that type of thing, and make sure that all of your various Bonanza forms are completely to the point where they're fully evolved. And the way the game ends is like they're gonna give it the biggest challenge, which is you have to transform into the zebra form, which allows you, and through the other parts of the game, to travel over these permeable surfaces that if you were any other form, you would just sort of, they would like crumble under you and you would fall through. In this case, it's like a sort of jelly liquid surface, and you have to go through it and keep going while there are flaming barrels, falling down on your head. And if you stop moving for 1 second, the thing will literally just open up underneath you and you'll fall through. But yeah, I finally got through it at the very end, and like a lot of the great classic Nintendo platformers, they have a big thank you message that they show you as you're playing through it, in this case made entirely of gold. And then you get the picture of young Pauline now all dressed up in her famous outfit, doing her show in the middle of Times Square. And yeah, it was a great game, and I know understand why it was so popular last year. And it's bittersweet because it was the last game I bought while my mother was still alive, and in fact, it was a game I bought specifically because I needed to deal with the fact that my mother was, for lack of a better word, on her deathbed. But yeah, the game's amazing. If you have not played it, highly recommend it. The other two games I've played that I have not been playing regularly, well, kind of playing regularly. The first one is Mio, Memories in Orbit. I've talked about this game before, about how unbelievably difficult it seemed. It does get easier. Because mostly the game has this really high like difficulty curve that starts off where you're essentially having to learn like how this game operates, and it doesn't really do the best ability to explain it. You do eventually get to a point where you can use like a area map anytime you want instead of having to go to one of the level up areas, but it takes a little bit before you get there. The only thing is, like I've said before, the level designs in this game is so intricate that it can be really difficult to figure out like where exactly you need to go sometimes. Whether it's like going through ducts or through holes in the ground, stuff that doesn't really explain itself all that well. You kind of have to experiment and move around. And for most games that's not an issue, but it's a Metroidvania that also kind of plays like a Souls-like, so it can be a little infuriating. But I'm about halfway through it now and should be able to, I'm far enough in now, I think I can probably start writing my review. But actually not a bad game at all. Just has a kind of a high difficulty curve going in. And last but not least, I played the demo for Pragmata, which is a game I have been sleeping on for far too long until I finally decided to give it a shot and found out that it is kind of amazing, actually. It's really cool. You're basically a dude on the moon who has this little robot girl named Diane who's basically, hanging off of your back, and you got your typical future sci-fi weaponry. You've got your shotgun-like weapon, your net-like weapon, that kind of thing, your pistols, blah blah blah. But that's not really the appeal. The appeal is actually what Diane herself can do. Because she's a robot that's like basically a part of the system that you're playing in, she has the ability to like hack into various tech and do things to it. Like obviously she can, hack into like locks and stuff like that. But when it comes to like the actual enemies, that's where it really gets interesting. Because essentially the hacks with those works is that it, goes to, at least in the demo, into like a 3x3, into like a 3x3 or like a 4x4 grid, and sometimes bigger, depending on the enemy. And in this grid, you're sort of using the face buttons to navigate this with like a white space. And what you're doing is you're trying to go over these special spaces that are on this grid, and every one that you do has an effect before you finally get to the green space where it closes out. And like the type of things that you're exposed to in this game, the effects are like these like thing that's like a blue symbol for like opening doors. And what that does is it'll like make the protective coverings that the various like robots and stuff you come up against are using to like cover up their interior vulnerable bits. And the more time that you get, like the more of those symbols you get in it, the longer it'll stay open. And it'll even cause a little bit of damage when you do it. There's another one that I saw, which is basically the yellow, like a yellow triangle sign with like an exclamation mark inside of it. And what that does is it causes like an electric pulse to hit the enemy that you're going up against, and it not only causes some electrical damage, it also causes them to temporarily paralyzed for just a minute. And it's like a play, it's there is some intense game like gameplay in this, because you're on the one hand you're trying to dodge your enemy, but you're also trying to like go through these various grids. And you would think that it's intrusive or like it would like make it somehow, difficult and impossible. It doesn't. It's actually really, like, really weird, like, unusually intuitive for something that seems so complicated on its surface. And yeah, it's a really interesting game. And I, we're going to be talking about it in a little bit, but yeah, it's definitely something I'm looking forward to next month. But yeah, that's what I've been playing.
All right, so yeah, let's get to some news. First
Yes.
up, we got some good Assassin's Creed news, which
Yes.
is that they've released an update for Assassin's Creed Unity to make it run at 60 FPS.
Yay.
So, good time to return back to that. As any, and yeah, that's a game I never really played, one because I didn't really need that much Assassin's Creed in my life at that point, even.
Yeah.
Especially because it got pretty poor reviews when it came out.
Yeah.
Because it ran poorly, was pretty buggy, and all that, and never really got any sort of attention on, a 60 FPS update until now. So
Yeah.
maybe I'll check it out and enjoy the French Revolution kind of period there. Which is one of those where they were set up so well for a great setting, and just kind of bungled it right at launch. So yeah, that's a whole thing there. This came out as part of this whole video that Ubisoft put out, like touching on a bunch of the other games that they're working on at this point. I would just like they're still doing more Assassin's Creed Shadows stuff. Not as much as they were doing before, more smaller stuff. There's Codename Hex, which is features an assassin set during the 17th century reign of the Holy Roman Empire. The associated witch trials and hunts, interesting. And say it's going to be a unique, darker, narrative-driven Assassin's Creed experience set during a pivotal moment in history. So that could be neat. There's Invictus, Codename Invictus. It is a PvP multiplayer experience led by the For Honor team at Ubisoft Montreal. They call it a new approach to multiplayer in the franchise. So not going to be like what the multiplayer was that they had in, I think, Brotherhood for a few games there. It's a neat style of multiplayer. Probably would still be pretty fun at this point, but they're doing something different, so we'll see what that is. I guess the latest rumors that it's like Fall Guys. They're hinting at the Black Flag remake that's been making the rounds in the rumor mill. So that may still be happening. Let's see. They're gonna have more details on the live action Netflix series soon. We'll have to wait for that, and that's kind of really about it. Yeah, the mobile game Jade is still in the works. And that there might be some co-op coming back to Assassin's Creed. Maybe why they focus on Unity for that update, because that's one of the few co-op games in the series. So yeah, there's that.
All right.
Let's see. Yeah, and by the time you hear this, it may be Mario Day or March 10th. Nintendo will be adding three new games to the Nintendo Switch Online Plus expansion pack apps. Two Virtual Boy games, Mario's Tennis and Mario Clash. Tennis is tennis. Let's see, what's Mario Clash? That is, let's see, help Mario through a towering maze. I don't think I've ever really seen. Yeah, you can check that out. For the Game Boy Advance app, they're adding Mario vs. Donkey Kong. Which is a very good game. It's
Oh,
a
yeah.
puzzle game, essentially, where you're trying to set up all these like conveyor belts and switches and such to get through these stages. And yeah, take down Donkey Kong. Which is yeah, very fun game. So that's one to keep an eye on later this week. So yeah, some stuff to check out. I kind of wish they added some for the basic NSO tier. You didn't have to go to like Mario's Missing, which would, not really a Nintendo game, but still
No.
they could pull the purse strings for that. Purse strings for that. Doubt it's an expensive game to get licensed for anything, considering it's their IP. And it's not a good game either way, but it's an interesting game. Because it's like they try to do some educational games here and there. That was one of the more interesting ones. I think like I rented it once, so it was like I don't know, just moved on. So yeah, there's that. And then yeah, there's this. Ooh, a game that is titled OOO. Particularly the title technically has like two little dots on top of the first O because it's like a worm kind of looking thing. This game has been on Steam for a while, maybe last year. Yeah, August 2nd or 7th of last year. Is out now on the Switch. Is also coming to PS5 on March 11th and then Xbox later in March. That's a game I've heard a lot of good things about. So one that you can check out if you want to play that on console. This is a puzzle game that looks really good. Essentially, you are like a worm with like little segmented bodies following your head, and you're kind of blowing those up to get around the map. So you're setting that how those things work to take out obstacles and all that kind of stuff. And yeah, looks really neat and inventive for that kind of game.
Oh, yeah. It actually does.
And then later this week, Highguard will be shutting down on March 12th.
Yeah. I think at this point we can pretty much say that as far as like outside of like the big name games, the era of the games as live service model is more or less dead.
I don't know about that, but I think taking the big swings on it,
Yeah.
especially as an indie, like trying to make a game that at least appears to be on the same budget level of an Apex Legends,
Yeah.
without the big corporation backing you, is maybe the big issue here.
Yeah.
Because the numbers it got are not bad numbers for people playing it, but if you are, spending a good bit of money to make this kind of game, those numbers are not good enough.
Yeah, that's the issue.
That's why they had to lay off people a few weeks ago and now are shutting down the game. Though the remaining people managed to put out like one last update to add whatever content they were working on into the game, which added like a new playable character, new weapons, skill trees, account level progression, which doesn't really help much when you're shutting it down a week later, but
Yeah.
otherwise I don't think this game was bad at all or anything. It's just not a great game to be putting out when you don't have the financial backing to keep it going for at least, 6 months or so. Cause it seems like they were had funding from Tencent, who saw the numbers that were coming in and were like, yeah, we're not putting any more money in this. And that sort of led them to have to make layoffs and all that at a certain point. So, just an unfortunate end for a game that has been through the ringers on the internet from reasonable people and unreasonable people.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. You got a few more days to play it if you at least see what that game was. But yeah, there you go. I don't know if you have
Yeah.
anything to add, Brandon.
No, other than, you pointed out, if you're gonna go for one of these games and swing for the fences, you kind of really need some serious financial backing for it. And like you said, it was doing pretty okay numbers, and if it was a smaller scale project, that would have been fine, but this is a really cutthroat part of the industry, and you can sink or swim pretty much based on the first few weeks you're on you go live. And yeah.
Yeah, was that. Next up here, we got a game coming out on March 19th. The Coin Game finally has a
Yep.
date. It's currently in early access on PC, so it'll be coming out in 1.0 as well as on PS5 and Xbox for the 19th. And it's kind of one of those games sort of emulating the experience of like an arcade
Yep.
to go in and play all these weird little games. Not necessarily like a, not like a. You know, a video game arcade, but more of a
Chuck E.
an arcade
Cheese
where you
type
get,
place.
yeah, like where you get tickets out of it,
Yeah.
out of these games, little entertainment arcade machines. And this has a bunch of that kind of stuff in it, and seems to do that pretty well, from what I've seen of the early access part of the game. And yeah, that looks like that's going to be a pretty neat game if you want some kind of like a fuck around kind of game to it.
Yeah, I watched the Game Grumps do like an early version of this, and one of the things that like really surprised them and also kind of surprised me is it's like, oh yeah, it's a game. You go into an arcade, you play arcade games. It's actually a lot bigger than that. There is this enormous overworld with all this stuff that's happening, with all these weird little robot characters going around, and it is surprise like it is much larger than it lets on. So yeah.
Yeah, they mentioned they've added a new thing to the survivor mode called Transport Phone Booth, which I assume means that you can teleport between phone booths, along with new side quests and bank floor foreclosure problems. And that there's a new ending that features a problem to solve. You get like a good ending, I guess. So, yeah, That sounds neat. So
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking forward to that one. And then the last of the dates here, Capcom had a showcase of various games they had coming out in the near future. Most of the things they touched on was like, oh, here's new things about this game, like about the online features of that Mega Man collection and all that. But the one like big piece of news here is that they announced that Pragmata will be coming out a week earlier. Supposed to be April 24th, and now it'll be on April 17th. So that'll be nice, especially for a game that's been delayed as long as this has. Like, we're coming out a week earlier. They put out a similar kind of video of Diane kind of writing a sorry note saying, sorry, coming April 24th, 2026, and scribbles out the 24 and writes 17.
That's directly related to the robot girl Diane. She does a lot of drawing and stuff on her like weird little tablet. So but yeah, I'm definitely excited to play this when it comes out, if I can afford it. But I've been hearing good things so far, and I hope it ends up sticking the landing when it comes out.
Yeah. So yeah, there you go for that. Trying to check because what was it? Yeah, that's a day after Mouse PI for Hire.
Oh
It's
yeah,
April
it was,
16th.
yeah.
So that's pushing a lot of stuff together there.
Yeah.
Let's see. We got the Bandai Namco was teasing that they were going to announce a new RPG, and everybody started getting their hopes up for a variety of games. And it ended up being a game called Echoes of Aincrad, a new Sword Art Online, so based on the popular anime, which is itself about games, but
Yeah, it's a your mileage may vary type of thing.
looks like you got you're building your own character, which is like the original anime is about you playing this MMO, and then everybody gets stuck in the MMO. And if they die in the MMO, they die in real life. All the weird stuff that happens with that. And so, yeah. You build and master a character capable of utilizing different combat styles and weapons. And a system that encourages flexible progression. You also have an AI partner to build synergy with and adapt their skills and gear to your advantage. So you have multiple cities, dungeons, environments. That can be neat. That's looks like that'll be out July 10th on PS5, Xbox, and PC, so not too far away.
And then we got this bit of just like it's like just an odd announcement, honestly, especially at this time period.
Yeah, so seems like they, in wanting to get some goodwill out there, Xbox decided to announce their next platform, which is codenamed Project Helix. With a new logo that looks like a mix between the Infinite symbol, the Xbox logo, and like an eight. It's all a mishmash of that stuff, and a little bit of text we got with this little video teaser is them saying Project Helix will lead in performance and play your Xbox and PC games. And this is Asha Sharma saying, looking forward to chatting about this more with partners and studios at my first GDC next week. So yeah, that's about all the details we have on this, but the rumor mill behind this is that this is looking to be a hybrid PC console, mostly a PC that has the guts that lets it play Xbox games, once you've purchased on, Xbox Series X or S and backwards compatible stuff from Xbox One and 360, but it'll all run on Windows 11, which everybody loves right now.
Oh, just absolutely crazy over it.
Not at all being filled with Copilot AI and all this crap that nobody wants. There's getting more and more people to seriously look at switching to Linux for their main computers. So yeah, that's an interesting little bit of news. Nothing really concrete out of this, but does not seem to go back on anything that we've heard about this thing so far.
Mm-hmm.
But they're already starting to talk about it, I guess, so might be coming next year at the latest, based on the way they're talking about this. There's your Xbox news for the week.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you have anything to add, Brandon.
Yeah, what the hell? Like, seriously, you know, I know you're trying to get some goodwill back, but, like, teasing a new advanced platform right now when we're in the middle of a rather nasty economic downturn and there's a massive chip shortage and everything is just... read the room, guys. Seriously.
Yeah.
Just... Yeah.
The things they're talking about and that's been rumored does not sound like it's going to be cheap at all.
Mm-mm.
So that's going to be fun to see a price for this thing.
Yeah.
It's like what people expected out of that the handheld they worked on with like Asus.
Mm-hmm.
That ended up, or no, it is Asus. That ended up being, you know, $800 and $1,000, I think.
Mm-hmm.
For the two different models, or maybe it was $600,000, but it's still very much a lot more expensive than what people were expecting.
Mm-hmm.
These have not been selling that well as a result, so
mm-hmm.
I don't think this thing is going to be any better on the price front, so
mm-hmm.
we'll see where that goes. But that's the Xbox news for the moment. And next up here, we are returning to the world of Build-A-Rocket Boy.
Yeah.
Because the roller coaster never ends for them.
Mm-hmm.
As they have announced, there are more layoffs. Blaming the games industry's difficult period and corporate sabotage.
Mm-hmm.
We're back to that. Their CEO, Mark Gerhard, posted on LinkedIn... saying this was a deeply painful decision to cut staff, and also alleged organized espionage and corporate sabotage had impacted their, you know, one and only game, Mind's Eye,
mm-hmm.
Which is certainly a way to go, continue mm-hmm. to go with all this. As they are, over the past months, we've been working with external partners and legal advisors to investigate the criminal activity that took place around our launch. That work has taken far longer than expected, but has now resulted in overwhelming evidence of organized espionage and corporate sabotage affecting Mind's Eye. Because this matter is moving towards prosecution, we cannot share the full details publicly yet. So yeah. That's wild.
Yeah, that's insane, frankly. God. Yeah, like, stuff like, you know, industrial espionage, like, that kind of thing does happen. But accusations of it are also often used to hide the, you know, financial misconduct and impropriety. And also sometimes people are just bad with money.
Yeah.
You know. So it's possible, you know, that there actually was some sort of industrial espionage happening. It's also possible that they're doing this because they're trying to cover their asses.
Yeah, it's it's weird, and it's also not a great tone to have for, you know, an announcement where you're laying off people, blaming it on this corporate sabotage, which is like, who exactly is trying to sabotage this studio?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what have they done to be worthy of that?
Kind of, yeah, exactly.
So yeah, this just adding more weird vibes around this company.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's all we'll talk about there. And next up to another group of people that are very normal, the U.S. Mm-hmm. government, Trump administration. They are apparently considering compelling Tencent to divest their gaming investments.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about the if it's going to be just the U.S. companies that they have stakes in, because let's see, they own a 28% stake in Epic Games,
mm-hmm.
owns Riot Games outright and Turtle Rock outright. International portfolio includes Supercell, Sumo Digital, Funcom, Play Entertainment, and Jaeger, with minority stakes in firms including Ubisoft, Techland, Krafton, Remedy, and Paradox. Yeah, I think this was an investigation that technically started under the Biden administration, but we know Trump's hard on for getting back at China, and Tencent being one of the bigger companies in China, especially involved in, an industry like the gaming industry that has backers from all around the world for many of these companies, especially the ones that are publicly traded. There'll be a way to try to, harm the games industry even further by scaring foreign investments into U.S. companies. I also don't necessarily know what the outcome of this they want for this. They are apparently claiming that these investments gives them significant intelligence collection source, or a significant intelligence collection source. But it's like anything on the internet can do that at this point, the way that all that stuff is designed. So we'll see where that goes, if they're going to try to divest, force them to divest themselves of these companies, and then they get very normal billionaires to buy them up like they did to TikTok, who then will harvest data out of it. So an interesting thing to see. No idea if you have anything to add.
Yeah, how to help destroy an industry in like three easy steps. Just really fucking stupid. I mean, like everything else with this goddamn administration, it's really fucking stupid. And I mean, there's really not much else to say.
I'd have to assume it's some ploy by one of his rich friends being like, boy, it would be nice to get some of these investments at this Chinese company. See if you can do the same shit we did to TikTok. But yeah, otherwise we don't know if there's anything real concrete there, if it's just rumblings of a thing. So we'll see where that goes. But this next one, NetEase, is apparently planning to stop funding Gang of Dragon, the new game from Negoshi Studio, former creative lead on the Yakuza and series. One that's famously was pretty easy to make money on because they reused a lot of assets on that, and now his new studio has to make a Yakuza game from scratch, and that apparently is not a cheap endeavor for NetEase, who has been cutting funding on a lot of projects of late. So especially this one that looked really interesting at the Game Awards, especially because it features, Don Lee as the protagonist, who's just a very cool dude. And yes, apparently they would need an additional $44.4 million in funding in order to reach the finish line and actually ship the game. But NetEase wanting to sort of cut their investments with a number of the projects they've been funding of late. This ends up being another one. So, gonna have to force this studio to have to search and see if there's another partner out there that would be willing to take on the funding and all that for that game. So yeah, that's a fortunate and sad situation. Hopefully they do get to keep working on it, not just have to cancel it. Because yeah, it definitely seems like if you left your longtime studios to go work on a project with NetEase, you're having a bad time. Casey Hudson left to go form a studio that was going to work on things there and then came back. He's working with a different studio now. Yeah, the guy from Square Enix, Ryusuke Yoshida, and a number of other people have done this. Fun times.
Like the whole industry is contracting right now because the world economy in general is contracting right now. And all of these companies, even though they're making record profits, they're basically having to cut all of these projects, to keep their paychecks. And it's just a sign of the times, really.
That we will end here on some good news. The Good Games Group, which was founded by former heads of Humble Bundle's publishing company, have purchased said company from Ziff Davis, and is changing the name of that company into Balor Games, BALOR, and essentially are getting the rights to the catalog of games as well. So they have, I think, 60 games they mentioned here, over 60 games that they're now the custodian of, which includes Slay the Spire, A Hat in Time, A Signalis, Forager, Coral Island, Monaco, and Wizard of Legend, among many others. They seem to want to position this new publisher as a cultural curator within the indie space, meaning the division will aim to provide the resources and expertise required of an experienced publisher without compromising the autonomy of its partners. So yeah, that's great. And yeah, purchase the complete Firestoke Games catalog and the publishing rights to Fights in Tight Spaces. So seems like a good move here. The people who used to run Humble Games essentially getting all that stuff back. Ziff Davis can go fuck off with the money it gets out of this, as they are wont to do at this point.
Yeah, I mean, I'm glad that, that particular group and all of its stuff has been taken by, frankly, much more morally sound people than, who the people who previously had been just sort of draining its corpse, so to speak. So, yeah, good news all around, really.
And yeah, we'll end on here with the Nintendo Indie World Showcase. Had a bunch of stuff in it. I would say not a huge surprising showcase, because like I knew about all these games pretty much. Maybe not when some of these were coming out, but it was like, oh, okay, I knew that one and that one and that one and that one and that one. No real surprises here on NES, but still have some interesting stuff. So let's see, we got Densha Tech, which is coming to PS5, Xbox, Switch 2, and PC, will be out June 17th. And there's a Switch 2 demo to go alongside the Steam demo, so you can check that out now. I played the Steam demo, and that's looking like a very good game, so that'll be a fun summer game to play. There's My Little Puppy, which has been out on PC for a bit. And yeah, this is coming to Switch, also PS5. As well, they mentioned that the date is only for the Switch version, but the PS5 version probably won't be that far behind. So they may end up announcing that that comes out the same day as well. But for now, they're not doing it. That's like a weird little story where, yeah, the you befriend a dog that's an abandoned dog, and eventually become great friends with them, and then they pass away, and you meet them again in heaven. It's like a little bit of a weird thing there. But yeah, has a nice little story to it from what I've seen, so that looks nice. Then we got Heave Ho 2. The first game was a very successful kind of co-op kind of game. So yeah, that's come to Switch and Switch 2 and PC this summer. Then we got Moonlighter 2, The Endless Vault, which is in early access right now and is on Game Pass for Xbox and PC. It's coming to Switch 2, PS5, Xbox, and PC this summer, I think. Or no, sometime this year, whenever it's out of early access and hits 1.0. So we'll be able to check that out later this year. And that's the kind of roguelike shop sim game where you run a shop of items that you're selling that you collect in the dungeon at night. Does a nice little back and forth with all that, and they've fleshed this out with some more stuff going on in it, so it looks pretty neat. Then we got Widow. This is a sort of a diorama puzzle game of sorts, where you're filling out this diorama with these pieces that you're being presented, and building out this diorama. That's coming to everything: PS5, Xbox, Switch 2, and PC this summer. So that looks nice, and the Switch 2 version has mouse controls, so you can kind of use it for that. Then we got Mini Shoot Adventures, a very good game that came out on PC, I think, 2 years ago. April 2nd, 2024. It's now out on PS5, Xbox, Switch, Switch 2, and Xbox One for $16. It's also on Game Pass. This is a sort of top-down dual-stick shooter in the vein of a Zelda game, and it works as well as that sounds. Very good game. Go over and check it out. Let's see, we got The Midnight Walk, the spooky adventure kind of game. It's coming to Switch 2, March 26th, so pretty soon. For that's been out on PC and PS5, has VR support on those platforms, but will not here for obvious reasons. So that's one to check out. Let's see, Rotwood is out now on Switch 2 and PC. This is the newest Clay Entertainment game. This is like a hack and slash roguelike kind of game, with the style that Clay is known for. So it looks really nice, and yeah, I want to say that's been out in early access on PC for a bit.
Yeah, I think it has.
So yeah, now it's available for everybody on these two platforms. There you go. Then we finally got a date for Mixtape. That's been going around for a while. That's coming to PS5, Xbox, Switch, Switch 2, and PC on May 7th. So not too far away for that. Yeah, it looks. And let's see, Blighted, the new game from Drinkbox Studios, the makers of Guacamelee and a bunch of other games, have a new game which is sort of a Metroid-y action RPG kind of game, which looks really nice, has a really nice style to it, and yeah, has a new music by Jim Guthrie, who's worked on a bunch of their other stuff, so that looks cool. That's coming out this fall for Switch 2 and PC. So far, that's the only ones that they're mentioning there. Dead Zone Rogue is a game that's been on PC for a bit, and PC, PS5, and Xbox. It's sort of a roguelite first-person shooter, set on like a sci-fi, like space station kind of thing that it looks like. That's out on the 17th for the Switch 2. You can check that out. It looks nice, and it has co-op play and cross play, so
Yes, it does.
you'll be able to play that together. Then we got Grave Seasons. This is sort of a life sim kind of game with horror tones to it. So you got some of that fun stuff there. That is coming to PS5, Xbox, Switch, and PC this summer. Yeah, published by Blumhouse Games, one of theirs. Unrailed 2: Back on Track is coming out of early access on Steam to launch on Switch 2, PC in May, and then it'll be out on PS5 later in the year. The Switch demo's out now, so you can check that out. And then yeah, a few more games here. Tome 2, TOEM 2, is a photo adventure game that is going to be going to PS5, Switch, and PC this summer. That looks really nice. Let's see, then Inconbini, One Store Many Stories is a nice little shop simulator adventure game kind of thing, that looks really nice. That's coming to PS5, Xbox, Switch 2, and PC on April 30th. So that's pretty soon.
Yeah, it actually,
Go
looks
ahead.
pretty neat.
Yeah, I saw some of this being played. I haven't started the demo yet, but like, there's the notion of you putting stuff on shelves and it gets, mixed up and turned around and all that, and people might complain about that stuff. But you might also have, people that are essentially like story moments where it's like, oh, this old guy is like trying to find food for their cat, all that, and they can't read the labels super well and need your help to find the right thing for them, that kind of stuff. You learn a little more about their story.
Yeah.
and all that. So got nice stuff going on there.
Oh, yeah.
Then let's see, we got Outbound. This is going to be launching April 23rd on PS5, Xbox, Switch 2, and PC. This is sort of an open world camper van kind of survival crafting game kind of thing. We have this like almost like a VW bus kind of thing that you can expand upon and build out with new stuff on it to add, various things you need for your sort of survival stuff. Looks really nice. I've been looking forward to this one. That's out on April 23rd. And yeah, it has a Switch 2 demo out now, so you can check that out. And then we get Ratatan. It'll be coming out of early access for PS5, Xbox, Switch 2, and PC on July 16th. That is the game from some of the former Patapon developers, with a similar style to that. But taking the gameplay in more of a roguelike kind of avenue, which is pretty neat. I played a bit of this already because I backed it and got a code for Steam, though pretty sure my platform is PS5, so this summer, so that'll be fun. And then yeah, they ended on probably the most obvious game they could have, the one game that people have been wanting to be on Switch or Switch 2 for the last year. That is Blueprints, which is out now on the Switch 2. You can check that out. And yeah, that's your
And
lineup for the Indie World Direct. So
yeah.
what are you looking forward to in this?
Well, first of all, Den Shattuck, because that game just looks batshit crazy, and I have to see more of it. Also, let's see what else. Dead Zone Rogue definitely looks like something I want to look at. I love the idea of like a first-person roguelike shooter, and I hope it actually works good on this one. Also, yeah, you mentioned Incon Beanie. I'm like, yeah, this is definitely like the type of game that's right up my alley. I love these types of, very slow sort of slice of life type games. Which, by the way, I should also mention Mixtape as well, because it's a very nostalgic type of slice of life game, and I want to play that too. And yeah, that's pretty much it. I would say Blueprints, but I've already played that one. But yeah, there's definitely a couple of good ones in here.
I think for me, very much I'm probably most excited about like Densha Attack, Outbound, and Dome 2. Especially looking forward to seeing when we can check out Blighted, because Freakbox is good. They haven't made a bad game yet, so looking forward to this one. Especially when they get into their like darker styles. I forget what their other game was, the first person like dungeon crawler thing on the Vita and Wii U. Had a really nice style to it. Severed, which is a very cool game for that. So that kind of gives me some vibes of that. Yeah, like Rotwood, I would like to check out at some point. I feel like I like Klay Entertainment's games a lot, but I tend to buy them and I would like to play them. So that's one I'll probably check out at some point. But yeah, a lot of good stuff here. But yeah, I don't know if you have anything to add, Brandon. All right, so yeah, I think that is going to do it for the show this week. Thank you all for tuning in, and thank you, Brandon, for joining this week.
Always.
We'll be back next week with a new slate of news and things to talk about. Trying to see what releases we got coming up. MLB The Show will be available in their early access for the more money spenders out there, which will probably be me if we do not get a code for that. See what else is on. Let's see. We got the NSO stuff. The Ooh game for PS5. Fatal Frame 2 Crimson Butterfly Remake is out on the 12th. Bubblegum Galaxy indie game coming out on the 12th as well. Greedfall 2 still coming out. John Carpenter's Toxic Commandos also out on the 12th. The R-Type Tactics 1 and 2 Cosmos supposedly out this week. We shall see. They might delay it at the last moment again. The 13th, yeah, Monster Hunter Stories 3. We should have a review up soon for that. WWE 2K26 is also on the 13th, so a bunch of stuff out this at, so some good stuff to look forward to. But yeah, thank you all for tuning in. I hope you have a good week ahead. If you enjoy the show, feel free to give us a follow on Spotify, give us 5 stars, give us all the good stuff there. Help spread the word. Let friends and family know they should check it out. And select strangers who are also interested in games coming out in the near future.
Seriously. Yeah.
So yeah, thank you all for tuning in. Hope you have a good week ahead. We'll see you all next time. Have a good one.
Bye.